get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 1 Timothy, where we will find many of the great doctrines of church, life, and practice spelled out. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today.
So we teach doctrine. These men, verse 10, must also first be tested. Did you know there's a deacon's test? It's only 10 questions. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. There's no test. You remember, I've said this before, that I watch people. Especially when folks come into the fellowship and then they come back a second or third time. I'm watching you. And people say, don't say that, Mike. You're creeping me out. What do you mean you're watching me?
I'm watching you too.
Thank you, sister. I don't even know what to say to that. Stop it, Mary. You're creeping me out. How's that? Where were we? Deacon's tests. Deacon's tests. What it means is that you're being watched to see if the faith that you proclaim is genuine. Is it real? Or are you just here looking for something? You know? Are you here with an agenda? Are you here because, well, I'm going to straighten that pastor out? Better eat some Wheaties. And listen, I'm not saying because I'm bad. My conscience is clear before the Lord. I have nothing to hide. I've got no agendas. I do not fear man. I just don't. And that's not bragging. That's how it is. So deacons are men that we watch to see if their walk is authentic. That's the testing. And that's what I mean when I tell people I'm watching. I'm watching to see if they're real. Well, how do you tell that? Through the ups and downs of life. You see how people respond to trouble and friction. And how do they deal with people when they don't see eye to eye on things? Well, we want folks that can deal with people in dignity. And we want folks that can say what they really mean. And not then run and go tell somebody else something different. In other words, they're not double-tongued. And they're not interested in just what they can get out of the fellowship, see? So we watch to see if they really have the fruit of the Spirit. And then, after they're tested, after they go through that time of observation, then let them serve as deacons if they're beyond reproach. Yeah, and I've told people that before. Listen, when you express a desire to be a deacon, I've already known for a while that that's what God was doing in your life. Because I've been watching. Are you a person that's faithful to this fellowship? Or are you just a person that's seeking the office? Women must likewise. Now, what does that alert you to? Same theme, different office, but it's the same. What do you mean, Mike? It's still the office of deacon. Now, we've adopted the word deaconess today. But you know, in the Greek, there was no such thing. Deacon, diakonos, is a masculine term, but it was applied to men and women. And that's why we read here, women, not wives. We're not talking about deacons' wives. We're talking about the office of deacon, but it happens to be fulfilled by a woman. Women must likewise, notice, be dignified, in other words, worthy of respect, not malicious gossips. Now, let me say this, because some guys, men, read that, and they say, yeah, because you know how women are. I don't know. Why don't you tell me? How are women? Well, you know. What? They're gossips. Let me tell you something. Gossiping is something that afflicts men and women. I've known guys that they couldn't wait to share what they knew. They just, whoop! Yeah. Paul's point here, and I think this is contextual as much as it is anything. He's making the point, don't be gossips. But notice he says malicious gossips. Gossiping that destroys the character of another. Do you know you can assassinate somebody and not lay a finger on them? You can kill their character. You can kill their dignity and the respect in someone else's eyes by just, well, you know. I've stopped people in mid-sentence before when I felt in my spirit that something was about to come out of their mouth that was ungodly and disrespectful to someone else. And here's the easiest way to do that, brothers and sisters. When they start on that, you say, hang on a second. Have you shared this with the person that's the subject of what you're about to say? You know, that'll slam the brakes on a piece of gossip faster than anything I know. And listen, you don't need to hear it either. I did a funeral Tuesday of this week, and I was telling Kathy about this on the way to church this morning, and I had to do that. There were things coming out of this person's mouth, and whoa! I don't want to hear that about this person. I have no need to know that. And really, I don't understand the motive for that, because I look at them and I think, why are you holding and harboring those thoughts? That's unwholesome for you, claims to be a believer. So malicious gossips, don't be that. Temperate, that's sober, balanced, faithful in all things. Now he flips back to men, deacons. Must be the husbands of only one wife. Again, same kind of criteria that he used for elders. And that means a one-woman man, brothers and sisters. That means that you don't have eyes, so you're not wandering around, you're not checking the babes out in the fellowship, you know, you're not doing all that stuff. You are devoted to your wife. Husbands of only one wife. Good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. Now we know that he didn't. Paul was in prison at this time, and that's where he stayed. It was a matter of another year, maybe year and a half, and Paul was executed. So he did not make it to them. But in case I am delayed, so he had an inkling that he would be, and he was, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. Now, I like that phrase, the household of God. I even address my emails to you that way, don't I? CCL family, because we are a family. We are the household of God. And notice that it says, this household of God, which is the church of the living God. Now, literally, that says the living God's church. That's powerful. The living God's church. You know, as I was thinking about this verse, thinking about the household of God, the body of Christ, being a family, being the people of the living God, I wondered, well, then why are so many bodies weak, anemic, fussing and fighting and clawing at each other? Why is that going on? And a number of reasons came to mind quickly. But you know the one that stuck out the most? It's in conjunction with that phrase, that we are the household of God, which is the church of the living God, or in other words, we are the living God's church. I think one reason why so many churches are in such turmoil are that they're just shells. There's no life in the body. It's just empty, going through the motions, or else it's a staged excitement. You know what I mean? They just put on a front and act like everything's okay, but the people really know something's wrong. Behind that curtain, there's something wrong. And I think the reason for that is, by and large, is that mankind, they have wrested away God's ownership of the church, and they've tried to grab ownership for themselves. They forget, brothers and sisters, that we are a spiritual organism. The basis of our existence is divine. We come together not to do church. We come together as an expression of our common faith. What we do together on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights is that we worship the living God. It isn't about what kind of programs we have, what kind of bells and whistles, and what we have to attract people. I had a conversation with somebody once about that. Oh, I heard so-and-so visited your church. I said, yeah, they did. Well, I think they were looking for this. And I'll never forget my response. My response was, well, that's a good ministry. I wonder why they didn't stay and start that. See, here's the issue. So many people, they come into a church and they've got their shopping list. It's like they're at the mall. Well, do you have this? Do you have this? Oh, good. Okay. You have this? No. Oh. And if they get too many things on the list, you ain't God. Guess what? That's the wrong approach. You know why it's the wrong approach? Because if you're here, it's by divine appointment. You're here for a reason. Is it by accident? Well, yeah, I just kind of wandered down the street and thought, well, listen, you can think that there's nothing attached to that, but I got news for you. God has an appointment with you, and you're here by divine appointment. So the question you should be asking is this where you want me, Lord? And if it is, then I know I'm not supposed to sit on the bench. That's a beautiful thing about God's team. Everybody gets to play, right? It's not just five person on a team at a side, and then we got to sub in and out. No. The field is huge. Everybody gets to play. God, when He saves you, He gifts you, doesn't He? You have gifts. God wants to use them. And listen, it's not when He gifts you and calls you to use them in a body of believers, it's not so you can strut around and say, look at me. No, it's so that God receives the glory and this body becomes healthy. Because everybody's operating in their gifts and the body is complete. Paul talks about that a number of different places. But we are the church of the living God. We are, notice, the pillar and support of the truth. The pillar and support. What is the truth he's talking about here? Well, it's the faith. that body of doctrine, theology. We support that. How do you support that? You support that by an appeal to the authority of the Scriptures. We believe the Scriptures are true in everything that they say. The Scriptures were not written just by a bunch of dead Jews. And I've heard that. It's just a bunch of dead Jews. Who cares what they say? You're talking about the Word of God. It is the Word of God and every word of it. That's what we mean when we say, when we use the word plenary. Every word is the Word of God. So we are the support of that truth, the pillar of truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. And notice what this is set aside in stanzas. This was actually one of the very first hymns of the ancient church, of the first century church. This was a hymn. And notice what it encapsulates. He who is revealed in the flesh. What is that? Well, that is the incarnation. Is it not? God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with you. He was revealed in the flesh, was vindicated in the spirit. What is that? That is the resurrection. God proved his power and the truth of his promise through raising Christ. He was seen by angels, the post-resurrection appearances. Proclaimed among the nations, what is that? That's the gospel. It's a gospel proclamation. Believed on in the world, that's missions, taken up in glory, the ascension. A very early Christian hymn. But, now he's going to change gears on you. I finished early. We're going to get to chapter 4. You ready for this? But the one verse. Just for that, I'm going to do two. Now he's going to switch gears. Notice, but. So now he's talked about, and remember, what's the context of chapters 2 and 3? The context was life in the body, worship, conduct in the church, offices, how they are to conduct themselves and minister to the body. But, he says, you need to know that there's trouble coming. Now, when we read this, because we're reading it a couple thousand years after the fact, we always read this as yet to be. But what we need to understand, when Paul wrote these words, they had a current fulfillment, but they also had a future fulfillment. That's the wonderful thing about prophecy. As you study prophecy in the Scriptures, you'll see that when the prophets talked, when God talked through the prophets, it had an immediate fulfillment. It meant something to the people that heard it, but it almost always had a future fulfillment. And so for Paul, it had an immediate fulfillment because, remember, false teachers had come into Ephesus. Remember, Timothy's at Ephesus. He's ministering there as the pastor. But he's encountered all of this false teaching. So Paul says, but know that the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith. Now, I think Paul knew that by direct inspiration. Obviously, that's he wrote it because he was inspired of the Holy Spirit to write it. But I think he also knew it because of what he was seeing, because of his experiences. So the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith. Now, some believe that you can lose your salvation. And so they look at that and they say, see right there, this is a proof text then for what we call theologically Arminians, that you can lose your faith. Now, other people believe that you cannot lose your salvation, and we call them Calvinists. The Scripture holds that idea in friction to one another. And there are many verses that we could cite. For example, the Calvinists like to cite 1 John chapter 2, if you're a note taker, verses 18 and 19. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they were not all of us. You know the verse. Well, you know, if you fall away from the church, you leave the church, that just proves you were never saved in the first place. Okay? That's a Calvinistic viewpoint. And then you have the Arminian viewpoint that says, no, you can lose your salvation, and Hebrews 3 is a proof text for them. Note takers, 3 verses 12 through 19, it says, take care, brethren, that there are not any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And so you can read that on your own. It's not talking about salvation in this context. See, that's why it's so important that context is king. That you understand what Paul means or what any of the biblical writers mean when they're talking about things. Some will fall away from the faith. Now, it's not talking about saving faith here, brothers and sisters. Listen. Look at verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. See, what he's talking about in verse 1, that some will fall away from the faith, is some will leave behind the doctrine, the truth of the Scriptures, and they will go, what's he say? They will pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, they're going to listen to false teaching. Okay? Now, I'm going to leave that as an appetizer. You can read ahead on your own. We've got much more to say about this. It's a very important passage of Scripture because I believe we're living in these days right now. We're living in those later days, those later times. When it's talking about this apostasy, what does apostasy mean anyway? Well, we're going to talk about that next week. So we'll get into chapter 4 next week. You can read ahead. It's a short chapter. It's only 16 verses. So we should be able to get that. And we'll be looking ahead. Actually, we'll be in 2 Timothy here. By June, we should be in 2 Timothy. That's pretty good, right? Yeah. Got 3 more chapters. That's, you know. Hey, you know what I'm looking forward to, though? I love all of Scripture. You know that already. I'm looking forward to going through Hebrews with you. Hebrews. Ooh. Yeah. Hebrews. Yeah. That's going to be a good study. Read ahead, 1 Timothy chapter 4 for next week, and we'll get into that and find out what the apostasy is all about and why we need to reject false teaching. Okay? Be encouraged this week, brothers and sisters. God loves you, and He is for you, not against you. Keep that in mind. When the enemy comes against you, just call it what it is. But God is your shield. He is your deliverer. He is your strong tower. Mighty fortress is our God. You all enjoy your time with your mothers today. And those of you who have lost mothers, enjoy the memory of your mothers. It's precious. Hold that dear. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your goodness and mercy, and once again, Lord, for opening up our understanding to your word. Our prayer, Father, is that you would equip us and encourage us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can continue to be faithful to you. Lord, help us to be witnesses of your goodness to our family, our friends, our co-workers, even strangers, Lord. Help us to be ready with a word in season and out of season. We are thankful, Lord, for the salvation that you've given us. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to bless us with the things that we have need of. Go with us now, Lord, as we leave this place. Bless our times of fellowship today with our family and our mothers. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to get lost in you, so anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word Radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.cclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word Radio Ministry, write us at The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, PastorMike@CCLOhio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.